Translating her own novel from Italian into English was an obvious decision for American expat Hedy Goodrich. She moved to New Zealand 20 years ago and teaches English in Auckland, but her high school and university years she spent in Naples, the setting for Lost in the Spanish Quarter. This love story, she says, is loosely based on her own time in Naples, but it's not an autobiography, even though she and her protagonist share the same name. In the book, Hedy, an American, and Pietro, who's from rural Italy, meet, fall in love, and eventually part, heartbroken. But years later, their paths cross again. Nona Peltier reads from Lost in the Spanish Quarter.
I ran into Pietro 2 days later near my university. Without much small talk, he invited me for a coffee that afternoon at the house he shared with his brother. Their place was in the Spanish Quarter, apparently only 4 or 5 blocks from mine. Yet on the way there I got lost, just as the neighborhood had hoped I would. Its grid pattern of streets had been designed for just that since their conception as Spanish military barracks. Nearly identical cafes, fruit vendors, and makeshift stalls with eggs or contraband cigarettes on every corner heightened the mirror effect of that grid, which was ideal for keeping the outsider out and the insider in. To overcome this problem, I'd memorize paths through the quarter. For example, from my building to the Oriental, it was left, left again, then right at the street shrine, then straight, sidestepping the puddles under the trays of octopus and mussels until the street exhaled me out of the quarter and onto the main boulevard, Via Roma. Guided by a sort of muscle memory, I could walk through it all unscathed, even untouched, as if balancing on a tightrope. Drawn past the antennae and the hanging laundry through the smog and the hollering.
Hedy, I've spoken to quite a few authors over the years who have been translated into another language, and even if they've been confident, even bilingual, I don't think any of them have translated their own book into the second language. They just felt they needed to have one step removed. Why was it important for you to go through this process?
Well, I think I couldn't really shy away from the challenge because I am an English teacher and I am a translator. This is actually what I'm trained to do. I have a master's in languages. So it was, you know, a eureka moment for me to discover that I needed to write this book in Italian. But then translating it into English was just a challenge that I just couldn't refuse.
Were there some frustrations? Was anything lost in translation, so to speak, between the Italian and English languages?
I basically had a week between finishing the Italian version and starting the English translation. So I had to switch from writing in Italian and having found this magical language and its rhythm and its melody, which just suited my thoughts so perfectly, and then switching back to English immediately. And I was actually quite intimidated and afraid that I was going to lose this very fragile, newfound literary voice that I'd found. So I was a little bit afraid, and I started. It actually ended up being fun and kind of, but intellectual. Writing in Italian for me is a kind of a spiritual experience, and I hear sentences being given to me. Whereas in English, I can translate into English based on all the knowledge that I've accumulated throughout the years, based on the fact that it's my native language. I'm good at it, but it's not a magical experience.
I mean, translations are never word for word. You know, there is a degree of interpretation, colloquialisms, all that kind of thing. But do you think that Lost in the Spanish Quarter in English is as close as you could possibly make it to your original Italian version?
Well, my Italian editors actually wanted me to be as flexible as possible and even do some rewriting from the Italian into English. But I felt that I needed the English to be close to the Italian because the Italian was keeping me honest. The Italian was allowing me to speak with my heart, whereas in English, I can speak with my head. So I felt I needed to stay close to the Italian in order to keep the heart of the novel, which I have done. However, because I am also the author, as a translator, I didn't really need to check with the author to see what she meant. Therefore, I was able to bend the languages and move a few sentences around and add here and there where it was necessary so that the English could sound as natural as the Italian. That was very important to me. It needed to sound like not a translation at all. It needed to sound like I had written it originally in English. So I hope it worked.
Now, your name is essentially the first thing you read here, so mm-hmm. I know that this is loosely based on your personal experiences, but using your name in here, Hedy, that's quite a bold statement. It is impossible for a reader not to read this as Hedy Goodrich's story. Is that the case?
I didn't foresee that this novel was going to be such a big deal, I guess, in Italy, and it was going to be translated in so many languages. So perhaps in hindsight, I wouldn't have used my name. But I chose to use my name deliberately during the writing process because I wanted to put myself fully into the character, which is loosely based on myself at that age. But obviously, I've used fiction to create something more universal. However, once I started with my name and I wove into it certain linguistic considerations which had to do with a pronoun in a dialect called Edda, which was so closely related to the pronunciation of my name in Italy, Eddi, then I realized I couldn't separate the name Hedy and Eddi from the pronoun Edda, and I just couldn't remove my name anymore. So what had started as an exercise, a literary exercise of, oh, let's get into the character, ended up being something I just couldn't remove anymore.
Naples really seeped its way into your being. You were there for a decade, a really formative decade, high school through to university. But when you arrived there, what is the Naples of your memory, the Naples that you write about in your novel?
My editor is actually Neapolitan, so he knows the city very well, and he knows many Neapolitan writers, and he was very surprised at the new image that I gave to Naples. He'd never seen that done before. And that was because I purposely, when I wrote the book, I did not read books about Naples. I didn't want to read anybody else's perspective. I wanted to just go deep into my own memories of the streets and the piazzas and the sea and the sky and the people and the sounds and the smells. I just wanted to go deep within myself and pull out my Naples. And only after I'd finished the book, then did I go on to read some well-known novels written by Neapolitans or set in Naples. So it was interesting. It is my personal Naples, and it's very much a part of my subconscious. I still dream about Naples. I have very powerful dreams with powerful images of the volcano, of the castle, the first castle that's on the sea. It's just something that's just a part of me.
The Hedy in your novel is taken back to the years of her first love in Naples, Pietro. Tell us about their love affair from the book.
Well, a lot of people say it's young love and first love, and it is these two things. And that's very important because they are young adults, and they're on the edge of adulthood, really. They're still financially dependent on their parents. They're still students. So they're no longer children, but they're not quite adults. They're just on the edge of that. They're also from two completely different worlds. And that is really where the drama is created in the novel. Eddie, I'll call her that because that's what all her friends call her, is from the New World, from a modern place, a place without roots, without a history. And Pietro is from a small town. He's not from Naples either. He's from a small town about 100 kilometers inland where it is very old world. It is actually disintegrating old world where the old traditions are still very much alive, but they're not colorful traditions in the way that people think of Italy in its small towns. They are dark traditions. The people are holding on really tight to the land. They're preparing for famine. It's very cold, and there's not a lot of expansion. There's not a lot of employment. Young people leave these places, and it's a huge economic and social problem in Italy right now. So these two lovers come together. It is true love. They fall in love, but they're immediately having to face this problem of their origins.
Yes, for Pietro, he has that weight of family responsibility on his shoulders, and it gets heavier and heavier, doesn't it, as time goes on?
Yes, that is the main drama in the story. His mother, it sounds very typical Italian, but it is true. Italy is, it's in a way, it's a patriarchal society, but it, actually in a deeper way, it's a very matriarchal society. That's why people in Italy, instead of talking about Jesus all the time, are always talking about the Madonna. So Pietro's mother, who is a strong female, is pretty much the leader of the clan and is holding together all of these ancient traditions. She's also an elderly woman. She represents that world that Pietro is trying to escape from, to find freedom, to go find the light and employment and adventures and love and happiness, and it's just very hard to break away from.
Hedy Goodrich, her novel is published by HarperCollins, and it's called Lost in the Spanish Quarter.